I'd like to welcome Yolo and Napa counties to being sheltered in place. As you know, those of us in the Bay Area, and I'm in San Francisco, have been ordered to stay inside by our government. So that's what I'm doing. I'm staying inside. I opened up a home gym. Only members allowed is me. And it consists of one 25-pound kettlebell and a yoga mat that I'm not sure I actually own. I don't think it's mine, but I found it, and I put it down, put a kettlebell on there, did some body weight exercises. That's how I started my morning. That's how I started day two of me being quarantined. I have some food still. Things are good. Still have plenty of wine. And I officially opened up my second bag of coffee. We will get to our Twitter poll later on, and Bob Fitzgerald will join me later to discuss how he was preparing to call games without any fans before the NBA suspended the season. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. I want to start here, though. The only thing going on in the sports world is NFL free agency, and there seems to be some sort of criticism of them because they just seem to be bulldozing forward with their operations rather than acknowledging the coronavirus. And while many events have been canceled or postponed, they've yet to announce anything about their draft in April. And look, I don't understand the criticism, and I'm all for criticizing the NFL. I think it's fun. I think it's warranted in many cases, in most cases, warranted. But in this instance, I don't get it. They are not, maybe it looks bad. Maybe it's bad PR, it's bad optics. I just don't, what else are they supposed to do? Okay. They're not breaking any of these, you know, social distancing rules that our government is encouraging us to follow. Okay. You could do everything with NFL free agency based on, you just do it over the computer. You could sign contracts online, fax them. The only reason you ever see people signing contracts is because it's a photo op. You don't have to sign these things. You can do it all on the computer now. You can negotiate deals over the phone. And so, look, I don't see why they should just stop what they are doing and stop their league year from beginning because of the coronavirus. I think that they ought to acknowledge it, and they have acknowledged it somewhat. They probably aren't acknowledging it enough. I think there are questions about whether or not the NFL draft will continue. They probably need to figure out how they're going to do that, because if they think that they're doing this in April, then they got another thing coming, because things in April and May, and they're starting to be postponed until, you know, the fall now. So I don't think that the NFL draft is going to, and should not in any case, be held the way that they had planned, you know, in a giant auditorium with a bunch of, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings consumers hanging out within 6 to 8 feet of each other for 3 days straight. I don't think that they need that, and I don't think they can do that, and they probably should come up with some sort of contingency plan. It doesn't mean that they're not doing it. It's just, it'd be nice to have them acknowledge it. I don't know if they have. This is a Warriors podcast. I mostly follow them. Not necessarily what the NFL is doing in regards to their draft strategy, but I don't think that they're wrong at all in trying to maintain some sort of semblance of what it is that they do. This is the NFL, okay? They are a sports organization. They are not going to come up with the cure to coronavirus. They are not going to help anything. If anything, they are giving us content. They're giving us things to watch on ESPN. Tom Brady is going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know why he is, but he is. That's something to talk about. And by the way, on ESPN Wednesday night, Adam Silver talked about where the NBA is and how they want to figure out how to resume the season as soon as possible because, quote, people are stuck at home and I think they need a diversion. They need to be entertained. Then Silver went on to say, quote, how can we restart the economy? What role can the NBA play in all of that? And there's a lot of things that Adam Silver has on his plate right now as far as trying to figure out how to resume the season. Doesn't sound like he wants to give up on even regular season games at this point. There could be an opportunity for them to start do an end-of-season tournament. He acknowledged that. Instead of a regular season, you just cobble together an end-of-season tournament, figure out who gets the last two, you know, one or two seeds of their of the playoffs. In either conference, you could do something like that. Possibly shorten the postseason in some way. But Adam Silver's mind is right where Roger Goodell's is, and it's just, okay, we kind of owe it to people to give them something, okay? Some sort of diversion. And that's what a part of what my conversation with Bob Fitzgerald coming up has to do with is I ask him, you know, what was your plan going in to broadcasting a game without any fans, given all of the coronavirus concerns? And he said, you know, it's very similar. People who work in sports, their job is to provide sports content, which serves as a diversion. Now, I think that's a little overblown in some cases, that sports as an escape is a little overblown. I still think that there are people who read politics and watch sports. I never really bought into just this escapism thing. Sometimes sports is just good to watch. I'm not trying to escape from anything by watching sports. I just like sports. Okay? It kind of props up sports to be something more than what it is, which is generally just entertainment. But they are in the entertainment industry. And so I don't see why the NFL or the NBA, like, as long as they can do something, they ought to, because that's their jobs. We're not upset with HBO for releasing content, or Netflix for releasing content, or for Disney Plus releasing Frozen 2 on their platform. We're not upset with those entertainment platforms for releasing content. And so why should we be upset with the NFL or the NBA for trying to provide something? Okay, it should try to provide a service that they are in the business of providing. As long as it is safe and within the rules and the guidelines that is being encouraged and not risking anybody else getting coronavirus, I don't see why they shouldn't be forging ahead with trying to do something. As long as it's safe. As long as they are helping. And as Adam Silver says, maybe it helps the economy, which could use a lot of help right now. I mentioned my conversation with Bob Fitzgerald. That comes up next. This is Locked On Warriors. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you're watching the games, which don't exist anymore, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. This is where the ad copy says, talk about your personal experience with Postmates. What did you order? How was it? Who did you eat it with? Etc. Well, what my personal experience with Postmates, I just ordered $40 worth of Chinese food yesterday on Postmates, beef and broccoli, beef and chicken, some dumplings, things like that. It was really good. It was from a place that I order from on Postmates all the time, but I stocked up. I ordered a bunch of stuff all at once. You know, they helped waive some of the fees, which I'll get to a little bit later. Who did I eat it with? Nobody, just me. I'm all alone in my apartment in San Francisco. So thanks for reminding me, ad copy. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant that I could think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs, and not just because of coronavirus, but because Postmates exists. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything that you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit. That was the delivery credit that I alluded to earlier. You get that for your first 7 days. So start your free deliveries by downloading the app and using the code LOCKEDONNBA, that's LOCKEDONNBA, for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Bob Fitzgerald, who has done play-by-play for the Warriors for the last 22 years, joins me now. Thanks for joining me, Bob. A week ago, we were talking about the Warriors playing the Nets in an arena without any fans. Now, of course, a lot has changed since then, but when that was the plan, were you preparing for that game differently at all? Because I was curious to see how that would play out.
Yeah, I mean, we may see that down the road, depending right. on what the league decides to do, but I wasn't preparing any differently, really. In terms of, we had Brooklyn, you had the Warriors, they had played once, which was really an ugly game in New York. But this was going to be kind of the Warriors playing, you know, some pretty reasonable basketball where they had won three games, like in a five-game stretch. And, you know, they were in a situation where, okay, you know, Mulder looks like he's become a little bit of a player. Marquese Chris is kind of grabbing that center spot. Pascal's playing in the second unit where Steve's probably going to use him next year. And They were running the offense through him. And so I think that, you know, as far as, for, you know, no fans, you know, that was a dictate to society and health and everybody being smart. But I also looked at it as, man, with people hanging out at home, this was going to be a couple hours of diversion and joy for them that they need, you know. Right. So I was looking forward to calling the game with the same kind of enthusiasm and energy and really kind of trying to, you know, give people a, you know, 2-3 hour window to get away from the real world. I mean, sports is usually the toy department of life. And so, you know, this is one where it doesn't superimpose or take any level of import, because we all know what's way more important to what's going on in society. But if I could give people a couple hours to, you know, focus on something different, or, you know, get into the younger Dubs and see how they're kind of coming together, I was totally ready for that.
Had you ever done anything as far as broadcasting a game, play-by-play, or any sort of thing like that without any fans or in an empty arena or stadium or anything like that?
Yeah, we had done the one set of the China games from the studio in San Francisco.
Mm.
So one year we went to Beijing and Guangzhou, and then a couple of years later, the NBC Sports Bay Area had us take the feed and then, you know, call the game from a studio off a big monitor and everything. And so, you know, you're in an antiseptic studio with no kind of feedback, and yet Jim and I called the game. And, you know, I bet if someone flipped it on, they probably would have thought we were sitting right there, to be honest. So, you know, that's something that I think probably would have felt a little similar. You know, yeah. I was always curious, because my voice carries pretty much, is if somebody dribbled near me, because we were going to probably be on the floor, and you're making an exciting call, or would a player actually hear you, or an official hear you, or, you know, would Steve or the coaching staff or something across the way hear you? That was in an empty arena. That's what I was wondering, is how, you know, how much the players would actually hear what we were broadcasting, which I think would have been kind of unique and a little bit funny in certain circumstances.
When you were in those rooms, did you have to consciously say, like, all right, I have no crowd to sort of go off of as far as the exciting moments go? Like, I need to make sure I'm extra conscious of sort of ramping it up in those moments where
for me, that my enthusiasm is pretty genuine. That
okay.
If I see great play, I'm gonna, you know, definitely bring it as far as the energy level. And if I see something mundane, I'm just going to kind of keep calling the game as I see fit. I get excited about great basketball plays, offensively, defensively, unselfishness, team sharing. And I do that kind of regardless of score, circumstance, whatever. I just appreciate the game and the import of it. I think the crowd is an accentuation of a live call, because clearly there's the time to call and then lay out and let the crowd crescendo and react to what just happened. If it's a Steph 3 or a Clay 3 or a great Draymond block or something. So you don't have that as to, you know, you hit the peak on the call and then you lay out and wait for the crowd to, you know, kind of, you know, carry the day. Cause that's part of the art of television. Let your director shoot the crowd and see the fans going nuts if Steph hit one from 40 feet and things like that. So you wouldn't have that in the actual broadcast. That would be a little bit different formatically, but as far as how you call the game, it wouldn't be that much different.
Would there have been pressure on either you or anybody else to sort of fill that dead space in an empty arena?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think if anything, you know, we're in a mode now where people talk way too much on the broadcast and they're so busy. I think that the game itself needs to breathe a lot more, and, you know, we just see, you know, so many sponsorship and lead-ins and graphics and promos and all that stuff, that there's rarely time to call the game and have a conversation and let it breathe a little bit. So I think that, you know, for me, no, I would not be trying to talk more. I think that would probably detract, and it ends up, you know, annoying the person watching the game because they're trying to appreciate the game and someone's just endlessly, you know, rambling on. They need to be a little careful with that.
Thanks to Bob Fitzgerald for joining the show there. That I'm cutting off the interview there because he goes on, we go on to talk about some of his favorite games that he ever called. And that was a good conversation, too. I will air that either later this week or possibly next week as a separate interview. So look forward to that. We get to our Twitter poll next. You're listening to Locked On Warriors. I'm going to be putting up some of these Twitter polls occasionally while we're all locked inside. And so today's poll, I asked you, if you're sheltered in place, what staples are you already fearfully running low on? I listed a few options: pasta, ice cream, toilet paper, and of course, alcohol. Some people replied back saying coffee, which I should have listed admittedly, but the winner was alcohol at 33.3%, with ice cream as a close second at 31.3%. I don't think that that's unrelated. You guys are a bunch of drunks who get drunk and then just eat ice cream, which, look, I appreciate. That's what I did last night. That's the quarantine life. I don't know really what else to do. I work, you know, I try to get some work in all day. Mentioned the workout thing in the morning. You try to be productive. You just do that. And then I don't know what else there is to do. I've got a closet full of wine, so I am not running fearfully low on alcohol. If you are one of these people running fearfully low on alcohol, my suggestion is go get more, because you're going to need it. Okay? And ice cream? Put that stuff in your freezer. And I think we're at a point now where all of us went to Safeway and Costco and Trader Joe's and all these places when we knew that this was coming, when the shelter-in-place order was announced that it would be happening on Tuesday. We all did the same thing. We all went out and grabbed a bunch of stuff and loaded up our refrigerators and freezers and pantries and kitchens with everything that we thought we were going to need. And then we were locked indoors and just binged ate through all of it and probably drank the entire bottle of wine when maybe you only planned to drink half of it, or you got through way more beers than you thought you were going to in a single sitting, in a single night, maybe. Okay, you're binge watching your TV shows, you're binge eating all this at the same time, you're not getting out, maybe you got a couple workouts in, maybe you did some jumping jacks in your living room or in your bedroom, and then after that, it just went all downhill. I imagine that that is happening to a lot of people, and my only recommendation would be, if these are your staples, go get more of them, because we are only 2 or 3 days into this, people. Maybe eventually you'll slow down, but go get it now. I'm not telling you to go outside and avoid the social distancing, just so that we're clear and that I am okay legally on all of this stuff. But figure it out, okay? Figure it out and be safe out there. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening.